Well, good morning again. Wise man. It was kind of funny. I'm not going to do it. Well, maybe I should have done it today. I'm not going to do it today, but it was when I was doing some studying on this to put this together, I came across a, quote, a little test about the wise men. And I gave it to my wife. She about nailed it. I think she, like out of 10 questions, she missed one or two. But the ones she missed were like trick questions, kind of, you know. And so I can't blame her for that. Well, I can, but I won't. So, but who thinks they know the entire story of the wise man? You've heard it all your life, right? So why are we even here today? Good question. The wise man. Think about this a minute. What if it wasn't wise men? What if it was wise women? How would that have changed things in that story? Well, probably if it was wise women, they would have got there a lot sooner. Because they would have stopped and asked for directions, right? Wouldn't have taken them months or year or whatever to get there. They probably would have got there in time to help Mary, maybe even deliver, but certainly clean up the place, maybe make a casserole or two. And yes, they would have brought some practical gifts, right? I read one little story, too, talking about that one gentleman kind of in jest was saying, you know, there had to have been at least one of the wise man's wives with him. Had to have been. Because there's no way those guys would have found their way there without some direction from the wife and the gifts that they brought. I mean, us men, we don't go to baby showers, right? So how do we know what gifts to bring? So yeah, we'd bring gold, frankincense, myrrh. Well, so would she, okay? Bringing gold, jewelry, bringing some perfume, bringing some. So yeah, it's all right. One little boy was telling his parents about his Sunday school lesson and shared with them that the gifts that the wise men brought to the baby Jesus. He said they brought Jesus the gifts, brought them goats, Frankenstein, and Smurfs. So sometimes we can get a little confused about our story, right? You know, the tradition has it there were three wise men. But the Bible says absolutely nothing about how many there were. But that's just what kind of been the tradition. Some scholars say there might have been as many as 14 of them. The traditional names we've even come up with, Balthazar, Melchior, and Gaspar. Again, the Bible doesn't mention any names, so we don't really know. But it's not about the names. It's not about how many. It's about the wise men that came from the east to Jerusalem, asking the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we have come. Probably the most important words of that whole part, to worship him. They weren't coming just to a baby shower. They weren't coming just to a party. They were coming to worship. To worship the new king. It's that significance that is important. It's not about the names. It's not about how far they came. It's not about them. Why was it? It amazes me how God works sometimes, but other than the shepherds, these wise men were the only ones that were really told about Jesus being born. You would think God would have notified the religious faithful, religious leaders, the high priest, some of the elite religious leaders of the day. But he didn't. Who did he call upon? He called upon some lowly shepherds, and he called upon wise men that were maybe thousands of miles away. So other than Mary and Joseph, they were the only ones that were told. Wouldn't that be neat to be the ones kind of in that exclusive club to find out about something that is so huge in the history of our world today? That God, our Creator, would call upon just a certain few. You know, we could speculate a long time. We could speculate a long time why the Lord God selected only those few to tell. But it should remind us a little bit about the Lord using people that really don't fit the mold of what we would think people how what people should be used or the situation. In a lot of ways, it just doesn't make sense to us. If you were God, Would you have chosen a woman that was single, engaged to another man, to give birth in a barn or stable, and only tell a couple of shepherds and a couple of wise men about this huge event that's taking place? Doesn't make sense to me anyway. Maybe it does to you. But no, doesn't make sense to me. I don't think we would do that if we were God. If we were planning the glorious event, there would have been a lot of fanfare. The angels would not have just sung to a couple of shepherds. They'd be singing to the entire part of Israel. It wouldn't have been a 10-minute concert. It would have gone on all night or maybe for the entire week. It'd be a lot different. If I was God, I probably would have built or had it at least in about the most magnificent building and comfortable place that Jesus Christ, the Savior, could be born. But it wasn't. God didn't want it that way. Sometimes our ways, even though we think are better, are not. So we need to remember that God is in charge. He's got a reason. And he does things a lot different than we would. This morning I want us to consider a few lessons from the story of the wise men. But before we do that, Gary, if you want to put up the first slide, I want us to read through Matthew chapter 2, verses, I think it's 1 through 12. So you can join along with me as we read it. And if you want to read it with me, you're welcome to, okay? Because I, in the scramble, left my Bible at home this morning, and so there it is on the screen. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, and was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers, the religious law, and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Now, that's pretty much the entire story we know, right? It doesn't give us a lot of detail, but it does give us enough detail to really see what the wise men, what their purpose was. First thing, they came asking. They came seeking the child. Where is he? They had no idea. When they left, they were just following this star. But they had studied long enough. They knew enough. The king was being born. Now, the other thing we like to think of is the wise men were standing right next to the shepherds, right next to the camel, and right next to the sheep, right next to the baby Jesus, the minute he was born, right? No, it wasn't quite that way. Wise men didn't get there for a long time after. At least to several months. Possibly up to 2 years. We know this because when they came to Herod and said, "Where is he?" And Herod, what did he think? He said, "Come back and tell me where he is, because I want to go worship him." Now, a king is not going to go worship another king, is he? What's a king's job to do? He's going to protect his throne. And so what did Herod do? soon as he found out, he said, go kill every child that's 2 years and under. He wanted to cover the bases to make sure this child, Jesus, was dead. That he would be no threat. So we know by that, that it was up to at least 2 years before the wise men got there. You know, we ask that question to ourselves a lot of times, where is God? And a lot of times people ask that question when they really don't know God, when that tragedy, when that event takes place that really makes you question, where is God? Serious illness, death, massive earthquake, hurricanes, name the event, and you'll see people all of a sudden asking, where is God? But see, the wise men weren't in that situation. They were coming asking because they were seeking to find the Savior. Sometimes we go seeking or asking that question in anger. Where is God? Why would God allow this to happen? God isn't here. Some ask in guilt. Some ask, you know, in shame from a self-willed life that, you know, had no time for religion or things where God is. You know, we ban him from our government anymore. We ban him from schools. We ban him from workplaces. We ban him from almost everything in our society today in America. We have no time for him at home. Don't have time to spend much time praying, reading, studying. But then when the hardship comes, when the war comes, when whatever it is, then we want his safety, his security. We want his blessing. We want his help. Some ask the question from an internal yearning to know and understand what this life is all about. Why am I here? I've got to have a better purpose than just living day to day. They see the stars in the heavens as part of a huge, beautiful plan, an unexpectedly beautiful universe. They hear preacher after preacher proclaiming the word of God, and they see the sinfulness of man. They understand both the ups and downs of life as they have experienced them. And a result of all this and more, these people have a genuine yearning to know God. Where is he? I'm searching. I'm looking. Where is the one called Jesus, the Savior of the world? I don't think the wise man found Jesus in an instant, as we talked a minute ago. It took time. It took effort. The journey was long and hard. It wasn't they were coming from Reno. It wasn't 50 miles away or 5 miles away. It was probably thousands of miles away from Persia in that area. The Bible doesn't really say. But we know it wasn't an easy travel. Travel conditions were really hard and difficult due to weather, terrain, threat of robbery. Only the star in this they saw in the east was the one assurance to carry them through. And they knew that star was set there by God to lead them. Perhaps some of you today, you may feel a kinship to those wise men, and that you too have been on a search to know, to see this Jesus, the Savior of the world. You come to church and try to read the Bible and pray, but sometimes we just hit these dry spells. We all do. Let's be real. We come looking for Christ, but you know, sometimes it's just not to be found. And you may feel no closer to finding him than when you first started your search years ago, maybe. There is no star in the east that is guiding you to follow, other than this nagging feeling you can't get rid of, and that there has to be something more to life if I can just find it. To you who might be searching, asking, where is this Jesus? Look again at the determination and the perseverance of these wise men. Many people, including Christian people, tire or become frustrated with the search and say to themselves, you know what, I'm just worn out. It's enough that I go to church I've been baptized. I take communion. I do all the good deeds. But Jesus still remains hidden. It would be like the wise man saying, it's enough. I saw the star. I followed it for a while. I even made it to Jerusalem. But the search has been long. It's been hard. And I don't know where to find this baby. I'm close enough. Let's go home. All that time and effort spent searching, kind of wasted. Instead, the wise men were wise enough and brave enough to carry on the follow the inner urging God had given them in their hearts. So boldly, they went to King Herod. Can you imagine that? Walking in to King Herod and say, hey, do you happen to know where this newborn king is? That's pretty bold. And Herod, as we read in the scripture, confronting the Jewish high priest and said, hey, what do you know about this thing, about this event? And told the wise men to go and find him and then come back and let him know. Scripture says that the wise men headed for Bethlehem and that the star that they had seen went again before them until it rested over their place where the child was. Seek, you shall find. Jesus was to teach later, and so those wise men are an example to all of us about their perseverance, about how they continued on seeking, looking for Jesus, not to end the search until they found him. Don't be content with just coming to church and seeing your friends, visiting. Those are all good things. I'm not trying to say that's bad at all. Those are great things. God tells us to fellowship with one another. But don't give it the compromise that you join the church, you're doing all these things that are religious, and don't find Jesus. The goal is not church membership or good living. The goal is Jesus Christ. To know him personally, to love him and unconditionally. But most of all, as these wise men teach us, to worship him. We saw the star in the east and have gone to and have come to worship him. The Bible describes a scene like this. And going into the house, the wise men saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. They didn't just show up and say, we're here for the baby shower, and here's a couple of gifts. You know, I think we've probably all been to a fair or a circus or something where you can buy a ticket and you walk in to look at some freak show thing. You know, some two-headed animal or the hugest steer that's ever been alive or whatever it is. It's not what this was. This wasn't a circus show. This was Jesus Christ, the King being born, and the wise men coming to worship him. So kind of in the same way, don't let church, this place, be just entertainment to you. Sometimes we've got expectations of a church service. To be wonderful music, we try. Sometimes it's not so good. Sometimes it's great. Or to hear a great oratory preacher. Not today. I'll admit to that. Where can I sit? Where can I just watch? Not participate. How can I just feel good and then leave? See, we've come here today, I hope, to worship him. Not to seem like you come to see a celebrity, not to have him make us feel good, because it's not about us. But we've come here today, and hopefully, especially next week, to fall down on our knees and to worship Jesus Christ, the Lord and the King. It's not me that needs to be satisfied. It's not about me. That's not what matters. It's about him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who shall reign forever and ever. It is he that is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. It is he who died on a cross and shed his blood that the sins may be washed away and the elect may be dressed in righteousness before the Father. It is he who died and was buried and said, I will rise in 3 days, victorious over sin and death. He ascended into heaven and given all authority in heaven and in earth, and will come again in triumph and glory to rapture his church. Now, it's not about me or them. It is Jesus Christ that we should be seeking and find and worship. The wise men are wise. Why? Sure, they had a lot of intelligence, but it was more than that. It's because they know whom they're looking for. They're looking for the King of Kings. They did their homework. They did their study. They knew who they were looking for. Because they don't give up. They persevered. Whether the journey takes months or years, whether the star is bright or temporarily hidden, we need to persevere with our faith, driven by a God-given passion for Jesus Christ. Because when they see the child, they worshiped him. Not for anything that he might do for them, but solely for the honor and the glory that they render to God. And the truth of their worship speaks even louder to us as they offer costly and precious gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Any one of us knows that the moment someone has it truly captured our hearts, what do we want to do? We want to give them gifts. We want to serve them. We want to be there. We are unrestrained in our giving. And when you and I have searched for the Savior and found him with the eyes of faith, we have beheld him and given ourselves to him. Then, like the woman with the precious ointment in the alabaster jar, and these wise men with their expensive gifts, we too will pour out our hearts in overflowing love and adoration of untold value. In our little series, Gary, you can get the video ready if you want. In our series, we've been watching a little video clip each month that kind of talks about whichever topic we're on. And so I'd like to play this little video clip for you too, where the skit is about a wise man that came. So, Gary?
What child is this?
Yes. Yes. That is the question. That has always been the question. What child is this? That single question was the driving force behind our lengthy journey. We had to figure out what child this is. And I know. My friends, we have been called wise by many of the people we encountered along our journey. If even for a brief moment, I hesitate to give much credence to their judgment. But it is known, or it should be known, that knowledge is acquired by keeping one's eyes open and mouth shut. So, may I suggest that you keep your mouths closed and your ears open, and I will, to the best of my ability, answer your question as clear as I can. One, we did not stumble upon this child. No, we found a needle in a haystack. And how did we find this needle? We followed the star. I know, to many that would be considered a fool's errand, but we are no fools. No, that star was moved by some unseen force. And who moves stars but God? Two, we encountered that corrupt king. That king wanted us to find the child so that he could worship the child. My friends, do kings worship babies? No. Kings defend their thrones. And that king, that Herod, is a ruthless and cruel despot. It does not take a wise man to discern that. And that king felt that this child was a threat. And mark my words, that child is a threat to all who are cruel and ruthless. And three, I don't have words for three. My entire life I have searched. And yet it was always just beyond the horizon of my knowing. Until, in an instant, I crossed a threshold, and there it was. That father, that mother, that star, the child. It was all there. All my searching, all my studying. It was all right there. All in that child. How could I not worship him? I need search no more.
The worship team wants to make their way up here for a closing song. I appreciate it. So how do you answer the question, what child is this? How do you answer the question, I'm searching for him? It's my hope today that you can answer that by saying Jesus Christ is the child, that he is the newborn king, that he is my Savior and my Lord. Next week we come and celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will come seeking to find him, to worship him, just as the wise men did. What gifts will you bring? The only gift that he really wants is you. You. For you to give yourself completely to him. Why? Well, because he gave himself completely for you. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, that we can come and celebrate. Lord, I pray that you would just touch our hearts, that we would come even in a new way, an expanded way, to come and worship, to come and adore our Savior, the King that was born for us. Lord, as we go out this week with all the Christmas shopping probably left to do, with all the things that are on the agenda for the week, Lord, help us not to lose focus of what Christmas is about. It's about our Savior. It's about the beginning of a plan of salvation for each and every one of us. So, Lord, let us just have a wonderful week as we prepare for that celebration. We just lift all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful, blessed week this week, and Merry Christmas to you.